Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
It's Jared's birthday.
Those are reserved for the kids.
Happy birthday,
Jared. Not for this old man sitting across from you. Come on. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Jared. Oh, welcome, everybody. Good morning. It's Monday. Golf tournament week Monday here at Paragon Communications. Welcome in. Skinny on Sports, Aaron and Jared hanging out here on a Monday morning for the next hour. We'll be talking about all kinds of different stuff. What is going on with the NFL? Story over the weekend, or maybe even broke at the end of the week last week, about the difference, the way that they're going to be, the way that they're going to treat vaccinated and non-vaccinated players. The Steelers. Did you see how they're going to handle this?
No.
Yellow armbands will be placed on non-vaccinated players. 1930s Germany thinks that's a bad idea.
Oh, this is a...
Is it a star?
This is not going to go over
well. Is it a yellow star?
This is not going to go over well.
And then, yesterday, welcome back Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Come on back.
Yeah.
You're under investigation for 23 sexual assaults, but that's no big deal. You're vaccinated, so come on home. Unbelievable. We'll talk about that. Anything change over the weekend with realignment? I wasn't able to be here on Friday, and you know, when everything was so crazy on Thursday with all the news breaking and all that. So we really didn't get into a lot of the different things, and one of those is Oklahoma State. What's the best case scenario for them? What's the realistic options? Could they be left out entirely? You know, what does it look like for OSU if these moves with Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC do occur? Where does that put the Cowboys in the pecking order and for the other conferences and that kind of thing? Are you watching the Olympics? Yeah, nobody else is either. But
yeah, nobody heard my head. Well, probably some people did hear my head shake. No. You know what? I did watch it last night because I was waiting for the weather coverage to get a good idea of what's going on with the weather. But it was on mute, and I had music going.
So Olympics started. Men's basketball team failed miserably. And then there's a case of John Rahm. What is wrong with this guy? Is he the only human on earth that has tested positive for COVID four times? Has he had it four times? Why is he being tested? What is going on with John Rahm? And should he be upset? Then ask how your weekend was. How was your weekend? So we got all kinds of things. Some good, some bad. You know what's crazy? Something we have talked about and looked forward to for 8 months now comes up on Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so on the back burner that nobody cares that the NBA draft is right upon us, you know?
Well, it kind of shows the priorities, I think, in this state and region, right? With the big news that happened late last week, that has been pushed to the back burner.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I think so.
And that's always been said, right? That's always been kind of a thing. It's like, you know, if it's a Saturday night during college football season and it happens at the same time as basketball, a lot of eyeballs are going to be on the football games than the basketball.
Yeah, there's some truth to that, but then there's also, I mean, I was in the stands in 2012.
Oh, yeah.
With Notre Dame in town. I mean, you, one of the blue bloods of college football, hadn't been on that field in forever.
Right.
When news broke of the James Harden trade, and it was palpable.
Sure.
You know, and that's...
That's
it's huge news.
Huge news.
There's no doubt about it.
Fresh off the finals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, just played for the title.
Just played for the title. It was huge news, sure.
Everybody 23 years old thinking, hey, there's going to be the next dynasty.
Right. Right.
But I think you, overall, I think you're right. But it also shows you why the Thunder can't tank again. Because nobody cares. If this was that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you had a finals-worthy team, that news was going through Owen Field.
Correct.
Like wildfire during the game against Notre Dame. Now, fast forward 9 years and team's coming off a horrible season. Self-inflicted a bunch of it, but better get better. Nobody cares right
now. Yeah.
It is Jared's birthday. So happy birthday, Jared.
We don't need to harp on that too much. Right? You get to a point, you don't need to talk about birthdays very much.
Yeah, I think
it's just not a thank you, though. Thank you. Thank you for all the birthday wishes today.
From now on, you're really kind of every 10 years your birthday matters.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just kind of dreadfully sitting back waiting for another 2 years, and then it's the big 4-0, and yeah. I mean, really, after 30, it's...
You start doing every 10.
Yeah.
It's almost like you don't even have birthdays.
Yeah, but it makes Monday better, I can tell you that. You know, you're hearing all the nice words. Already not even 10 o'clock yet. Already got a ton of messages on the phone and everything. So, big thank you.
It was also your anniversary yesterday.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Looking, kind of perusing the Facebook when I saw the post about 12 years and some different pictures of you and your wife throughout the years.
Yeah, you thought I'm skinny now. I mean, back then I was a...
I got to tell you, she hasn't changed much. You have.
Yeah, I have.
And for the better. Yeah. I'm going to tell you.
I'm aging gracefully.
Some of those older pictures, it was like, whoa, somebody get Jared a hamburger.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks to my wife, right? I mean, obviously she's a good
cook. A good cook.
Yeah.
Plunked you up all the way to 150.
Love her cooking. I just recently got my the real ID process going, and I had to put down my weight. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I don't weigh the same like I did last time. I got to update that. Yeah, she's a great cook. You know, beer helps. Let's be honest. That adds the LBs as well. Yeah. No, she's been good for me. It's clear, right?
Yes.
This past 12 years has been a blessing. Two beautiful kids, beautiful wife. And the anniversary is much more important than my birthday. Much more important than my birthday.
Yeah, I told you on the Saturday night, the smart thing you did here was that you got married the day before your birthday, so you're never going to forget.
Yeah.
You're never, ever going to forget your anniversary.
That's right.
It was a wise move by Jared.
That's right.
Very, very wise.
Yeah. Yeah, big shout out. Everybody came out Saturday and brought food. We had a good time, and I think I was not expecting all the food that came out. Had a little shindig, for those who don't know, on Saturday night. To celebrate the birthdays and the anniversary, I just had this idea of, let's just do it all in one night with our friends and family. Nothing crazy. We call it a luau. Threw up some tiki torches, played some music. Everyone just hung out. And, yeah, big shout-out to, I think we could say it, Santiago's Tacos. Santiago Gonzalez, my buddy from high school, from even before high school, has a great outfit. You know where he's at. Go see him. He brought us – I didn't ask him to do that. Brought us some of his famous street tacos, and they were fantastic. They were a hit. My other buddy, he's gotten a little startup. He brought some ribs. We gave it kind of an off-air rib rating.
Yes, delicious
they
ribs.
They were great. And by the way, between me and my daughter – after yesterday, they're gone.
Yeah, we were trying to get Katie over there to join in on
the testing. She was too busy running around going crazy. But we had a lot of great food show up, great desserts, and great people. We had a good time.
It was fun.
It was a lot
of
fun.
Thank you for the invite. It was a
blast. Of course. I feel bad when I host like that because I feel like I cannot devote my time to everybody.
It's just like getting married.
You know what I mean?
It reminds you of the reception. You got to go over and to each table and talk
to
people.
Golly, that guy invited us. He didn't even talk to us. I try to be the best host I can be, but it's so hard to divide that time up, you know?
So you did fine.
Best I could do was say, hey, thanks for coming. Appreciate it. But it was good. It was a lot of fun. And we think that'll be an annual thing.
It was fun. There was a lot of good food.
Yeah.
A lot of good food.
And I felt kind of bad saying, hey, bring your own food, you know, but I don't think anyone had a problem with that. Just kind of potluck it, you know?
Yeah.
And we threw some hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill.
A lot of people like to do that anyway.
Yeah, and it turned out. And then when everybody left, we went inside. And like, Well, they left their food.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Everybody left their food behind. So we were munching on leftovers yesterday.
They took their ice chest but left the food.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell which one of those you'd rather happen.
Funny thing, before we get into our topics here, real quick. We had a fridge, everybody has a spare fridge in the garage, you know, and we call it the beer fridge, the drink fridge, you know, kind of a carryover fridge. Well, the seltzer phase, the craze of the hard seltzers, my wife basically had to try every one. But you can't buy them singles, so she's buying 12 packs at a time. Well, I don't like that, she'll say. And we've collected all these seltzers, so I don't know if you noticed, and we didn't really advertise it, we probably should have. I grabbed all of those, put them in a cooler, and set it out there, hoping that people would just take them.
Yeah.
Nope. It's kind of like a social experiment. Nobody likes seltzers.
Even I don't if know they're if that's
free.
True.
I guess I should have put a sign that said free, you know?
Mm-hmm. Alerted. Yeah, but some of that, you're right. Even if people know it's free, they're not going to take it.
No.
Because it just doesn't taste very good.
Could not get rid of those things. Do you like seltzers?
Are
you willing to admit?
I got to tell you, there was one right at the first of all this. I can't remember what it was called. We were at, myself and Blake and Gabe and Sean were at the BBJ tournament, golf tournament, the first time that we played.
Yeah.
And somebody there was one of the vendors had some seltzers. And I cannot remember what the name of it was. One of them was like cucumber and lime.
Yeah.
And it was hot that day. It was just really refreshing.
I could see that being refreshing.
It's really refreshing. But as far as just kind of being the go-to,
No, there's not more of a desire. You know,
it's more of a switcher, like a buffer.
Yeah.
Between beers. You know.
Yeah. But if I go to someone's house and they go, hey, all I have is a seltzer. Do you want one? I'm like, okay. Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Got any water?
Okay.
Probably rather have water.
The closest I can get is to a seltzer is they have a Bud Light Lemonade seltzer.
Yes.
But then they just have Bud Light Lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. It has to be like a really hot day.
Yeah.
Like this Saturday is going to be. Holy
Yeah, it's going to be hot. It was hot yesterday. Once the rain moved out and the sun came out, it was pretty steamy.
The first round of rain?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was pretty steamy.
Yeah.
Have you been watching the Olympics?
No. No, like I said, not. No. I really zero desire. Had it on yesterday to wait for the weather to turn severe, and it did. But, you know, just kept it on the locals there. But no, I have not been. I mean, you can't avoid it with what we do. We have ESPN alerting us to every little thing that happens. So you can't avoid the big news, of course, USA basketball losing and stuff like that. But sitting down to watch it, no. Not me. You?
No, I haven't seen a second of it. I really haven't. And it's not – I haven't been purposely avoiding it. I think a big problem for it is – you know, years ago, it would have been fine that the time zones and the tape delay and all that, you know, when you're trying to watch it in prime time, you could probably avoid, you know, the results.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like you're watching something you already know what happens. It's so impossible to do that in this day and age with the technology and the social medias and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's you're going to know. I mean, you just flip it out right now and, you know, ESPN's front page and two or three of the first things are what happened at the Tokyo Olympics, and you're not going to watch it until tonight.
Well, yeah.
And so I think that's a problem. And I think just the way that some of the teams from America have acted toward the country makes it harder to watch. And I heard somebody say this on Thursday or Friday. And I can't remember who it was, or I'd give them the credit. It might have been Pat and Craig. We're talking about, you know, how whether or not they were looking forward to the Olympics and this and that. And the idea was brought up, why not, eliminate all the sports within the Olympics where the Olympic gold medal isn't the pinnacle of the sport. So obviously, basketball. Mm-hmm. But then is that being selfish American? Because all the other countries, they do look at that. But this is just from an American point of view anyhow. And so, you know, basketball isn't it.
Right.
I mean, it's never going to be. Golf isn't it.
Right.
You know, and so then all of a sudden you whittle it down to where you're watching swimming, you're watching track and field, softball. I think you could make the case that an Olympic gold medal would work. It would be the highest for softball. But you know what I'm saying? And all this other stuff, and that is really kind of the catalyst, for me at least, to not watch the Olympics because I don't want to watch those teams because of what they don't or do believe in, as far as the country's concerned. Then they're gone. They're eliminated. And then that opens up the door to actually watch the Olympic athletes the way that they're always the way that they've always been and the way that they're always supposed to be.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good argument, too, of what sports would remain and what wouldn't remain. I would say soccer's out of that equation because I think the World Cup's the
100%
the top dog in that conversation. So yeah, I mean that in you're right, it almost you'll find athletes that want to be there. You know, there's always the question, it has felt like the last 3, 4, 5 Olympics of like NBA players, like, well, I might go, I don't know. They're always kind of on the fence. Yeah, I guess I'll go, you know. It's like there's no desire for them to be there. And that can go on to other sports as well. Do you know they're playing baseball? I didn't know they're playing baseball.
No, I didn't. I thought it was out.
I think I saw on the scroll this morning that baseball is...
I thought baseball was eliminated from the Olympics a couple years ago.
I think it's back. I could be wrong.
There's another one.
But
that
I don't know of any Americans. Does the USA have a team? There's not any. I haven't heard of any player that's not over there or that's over there.
Well, it's certainly not the pros.
I don't think it is pros.
Or at least the Major League Baseball.
So guys. Is it AAA quality baseball at best?
I'm fixing to find out.
So. Yeah, I guess that would pique my – and the reason I don't watch is because of a multitude – what's that?
We're using guys who are not on any 40-man roster. So we are using sort of major leaguers.
Okay. So that's AAA.
Yeah, I mean, or guys that are just not, you know, close.
Yeah. So, you know, and my issues with this year's Olympics – one, I think the interest level is down because it's – we've delayed it a year. It's kind of a cycle thing for me. It's like I get pumped up every 4 years. Last year, I was so disenchanted with the Olympics because they chose not to have it completely. And here we are, still on the verge of them shutting it down at any moment. No fans. We got the issues with the kneeling and soccer players. We got the all-about-me basketball players who are losing to France. It just doesn't interest me. I have no interest in it.
I couldn't agree more, and that's the problem, though. When you've got the most high-profile athletes are from the sports that shouldn't be playing in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just – that's where, you know, you're missing out maybe on – and I think people, you know, I don't know if it has a carryover effect or what, but, you know, even the women's gymnastics struggled in the prelims. So why is that? You know, Simone Biles is talking about the pressure, the weight of the world is on her shoulders. Well, yeah, as it should. This is the Olympics.
The pinnacle of your sport.
That's correct.
I mean, gymnastics, absolutely.
And women's gymnastics is one of those main course items in the Summer Olympics. Always has been.
Right.
And so, you know, maybe once that all gets started, you know, the swimming is going. That's one of the fun things about the Olympics every year. And then the track and field to get going. Maybe at that point, when it's not so much focused on the athletes that, you know, don't want to be there supporting their or, you know, playing for America because of the fact that they just hate America. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
Yeah.
They clearly hate America with their the way that they're, you know, going about this stuff. So maybe once that kind of dies down, and then the, you know, the swimming gets going, the gymnastics gets going, the track and field, I'll be more inclined to watch. But right now, I'm the same way. It's just apathetic toward anything that's going on over there. Now, except for this, what is wrong with John Rahm? What is going on here?
Yeah. So this time he's tested positive again.
I guess. Again, I mean.
So is this telling us the first time was a false positive?
Is it still
is he one of the very
remnants?
Minute cases of someone that's actually tested positive twice?
This is like four times.
Four times. Or does he even care? Going back to, you know, he's not throwing a, you know, he's not, I don't say throw a fit. He was heartbroken that last time, but.
Well, okay, so June 6th, or June 5th it would have been, is when he got kicked out of the memorial. June 5th, six-shot lead, walking off the 18th hole, third round complete, and he gets told that he has to WD from the memorial tournament because he tested positive for COVID. 2 weeks later, he's winning the U.S. Open at
right.
Torrey Pines. You know, and then 4 weeks later, he's in contention at the Open Championship, which was just a couple weeks ago. And now he tests positive for COVID again. It's just like, what in the world is going on? Why is he not, you know, is this, was one of them a false positive?
Absolutely it was.
Is he still, but, you know, is, let's say the first one wasn't, at least the first one we know about.
Right.
From the memorial. Let's say that that was a true positive test. Is he still, are the remnants of that still in there? You know, everything you've read is once you test positive, you don't have to test for 90 days.
Yeah.
Why is he still being tested?
Yeah, that's a great point, too.
He's been double vaccinated. I mean, everybody jumped on his case.
To get vaccinated.
To get vaccinated after he tested positive at Memorial. He gets double vaccinated. He has the antibodies. How in the hell is he testing positive?
I don't know.
What is going on? This is ridiculous. What is happening? And that's beside the point that he's never been sick and never had any symptoms ever. And the four times he's tested positive for COVID. What did John Rahm do to the COVID police to make them so mad at him? It's just unbelievable.
It is crazy.
Now, you know who else tested positive and will not be playing golf?
DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau. Now, I am not a giant conspiracy theorist. But on this one, I think it's a little bit fishy that he, I think it's a little bit convenient that he tested positive for COVID. You want to know why? You know what else they test for in the Olympics?
Steroids?
Correct. And so if Bryson has him a positive COVID test, then he doesn't ever get there to have to take the other tests. I think that's a little convenient for me. Little convenient.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, Captain America came swooping in to take his spot. None other than the cheater, Patrick Reed. I mean, if this isn't proof golf doesn't need to be in the Olympics, I don't know what is. The Americans traded Bryson DeChambeau for Patrick Reed. Really? I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I just feel sorry for John Rahm. I mean, I just don't understand what is going on with him.
That it, yeah, I think we can rule out, or rule, well, we could definitely not rule out, but we can determine that one of the times had to have been a false positive.
Either that, or he's like a petri dish.
Yeah. And you know the Corona Bros are going to jump all over it and go, see, this is why even if you don't show symptoms, you need to get tested everywhere and vaccinated because you're spreading it to people who don't need to get it.
This is why. I think a lot of these NFL players, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, that are up in arms over being forced to be to getting the vaccination. This is a perfect example. Point at him. What good did it do John Rahm?
Yeah.
He lost $1.7 million for a possible false positive test, was forced to get vaccinated. And now He tests positive again and can't play in the Olympics. Hey, Goodell, take it and stick it where the sun doesn't shine. If you don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just crazy, crazy deal. I mean, crazy for John Rahm.
Yeah.
And how that's all come about in such a short period of time. And so I would like, you know, everybody wanted to ask him right after the memorial, well, how does it feel not to be vaccinated? It almost forced him to get that way. Where are those same people today asking him, well, what good did that vaccination really do you? Really do you?
Yeah.
They're not there. By the way, breaking news in the last, 5 minutes or so. Joint statement released from the University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas at Austin. It reads, the University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas at Austin notified the Big 12 Athletic Conference today that they will not be renewing their grant of media rights following expiration in 2025. Providing notice to the Big 12 at this point is important in advance of the expiration of the conference's current media rights agreement. Universities intend to honor their existing grant of rights agreements. However, both universities will continue to monitor the rapidly evolving collegiate landscape, athletics landscape, as they consider how best to position their athletics programs for the future. So, basically, any thought or hope that the Big 12 would go forward as is past 2025 is done.
You got any sound of a crowd applauding?
No, I was actually looking for to come back with dun 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 dun. Dun. But I guess
it's done. Writing's been on the wall for the past 2 or 3 days, I think.
Let me ask you this:
this is the next step. The big question is how fast is this going to? How fast is the Big 12 going to unravel?
Here is more appropriate music to that. It's kind of where we're at this point. Let me ask you this. How amazing would it have been for us to be sitting here right now as that statement was released without the A&M leaks from last week?
Oh, man. We'd be floored, right?
Yeah.
But apparently this thing has been... 6 months in the works, which just begs a whole bunch of other slew of questions for me. But
what a great held secret.
Oh, that is true.
One of the best held secrets in college athletics in the recent memory.
That is true.
Was that this was going on. So OU and Texas not going to renew the grant of rights in 2025. So now that means to me it's a free for all starting now. Because the other 8 teams now officially know that this is it. We're done. So now, how do they want to proceed? I think last week they did a decent job of having that meeting that those other two didn't attend to show kind of a solidarity front. Hey, we're in this together. Trying to do anything they could in a last-ditch effort to keep those other two in the conference. You know, yesterday there was meetings between the Sooners and Longhorns brass with the Big 12 brass that clearly didn't go anywhere as far as the schools are concerned, which is why today that announcement is made jointly. I think that's another pretty key thing when you look at how that statement was released. It was released jointly between the two, which is just almost shocking for me to see those two be in such lockstep, but they are. And so now the conversation it turns from not if, but when, and also who. And the who, to me, is so interesting in this when you think about Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Who wants them? Where can they go? What is the best fit? What is the most realistic? So I guess I'll ask you this. It's the first question that I had on the sheet today is, in your mind, what's the best case scenario for Oklahoma State in all of this?
Well, best case scenario is us landing in a Power 5. The question is which one. Over the weekend, I guess there's been rumblings of mutual interest between the Big Ten and OSU. I said this on Friday. You know, at OSU, they are not happy. They've expressed their displeasure with how this has gone down from the OU Texas side of things with the lack of transparency, basically kind of just leave them in the dark and scrambling at this point. But I said it on Friday, this could be a good thing for them because either there's like three scenarios that could happen. The two that I mentioned, either Pac-12 or Big Ten, or basically just one big scenario, them finding a home in a Power 5 conference or a powerful conference, or the Big 12 staying together, and all of a sudden they're contenders in the Big 12 without OU and Texas, which means it bolsters their playoff chances. I think Barry Trammell had an article or a post today reflecting that. But, I said it too, who says that they have to scram? And I know they are. They're making the phone calls, hey, are you interested in us? We're interested in you, da-da-da-da. But, you know, set back and maybe you can gain some interest from, because I think they're in a perfect position in the middle of America to have almost a bidding war for them between the Pac-12, the Big Ten, even the ACC. We'd love to have them. They got a great overall sports program. Imagine how the trajectory of, and I'm thinking outside of football, obviously basketball, the men's basketball, women's basketball, very competitive. Imagine OSU softball in the Pac-12. You think they'd love that? They would love that. Baseball. How about baseball in the ACC or men's basketball in the ACC? You got Duke. You got North Carolina. So I think OSU is going to be okay is what I'm trying to say. Don't you feel like they are?
I do, as long as the Pac-12 doesn't flake out. For me, the best case scenario looks like this. Notre Dame stays independent, which means they don't take a spot from somebody in the ACC.
Right.
West Virginia seems like a natural to fit right into the ACC. And then I know there's lots of speculation that it'd be Kansas going north. How much sense does it make for Kansas to be in the ACC from a basketball standpoint?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about Friday. Absolutely, a ton of sense. And you know the big wigs at ESPN and CBS and the rest are wanting that to happen.
So KU, West Virginia to the ACC, which opens up that spot going north for Oklahoma State and Iowa State to fit into the Big Ten. From a money standpoint, that is the Big Ten is the cash cow for the eight leftover teams in the league. Right now, when you look at what they're making, you can make the case and it works in some ways and it doesn't in others, but that the Big Ten is actually supplying their members with more money than even the SEC is, which is a big part of why the SEC has now signed that deal with ESPN because of the undervaluation of that contract with CBS to show that, you know, the one game a week. I mean, it was, you want to talk about a steal. You don't see those very often in the sports world anymore from a media standpoint, but that contract for CBS and the SEC was an absolute steal for CBS and a big part of why the SEC is going to go racing past the Big Ten once the contract with ESPN kicks in, because now they're up to more of a market value as opposed to just totally undervalued. So for me, the best case scenario monetarily has to be the Big Ten because they are the ones that are kind of step by step with the SEC. Competitively, I don't know. You know, I think all the others, you know, if we're just talking about the other three Power Five conferences or Power Four or what it'll be, there's advantages and disadvantages for different sports going in there. You know, you mentioned baseball, softball, you know, baseball, Big Ten, probably rather be in the Pac or the ACC. Softball, probably the same. Basketball, though, I mean, your men's basketball especially, if you weren't already in the best conference, you're going to be with the Big Ten, you know, and then football is football. So, to me, that's the best case scenario. I don't think it's the most realistic, though. For me, I think the most realistic is the Pac-12 opens up their arms to take in four schools, or at least for sure two from these leftover Big 12 schools, and I think OSU is in a great position to be one of those. It just makes, you know, geographically, for what's left in the Big 12, Tech and OSU are kind of, you know, they're there. And I think that's such a good fit when you think about, you know, baseball. Both of those schools are fantastic. They would fit right in with the Pac-12 schools baseball-wise. Basketball the same way. Both have been fantastic. Football's football. It's always going to be the main one, but they're not out of touch. And they play a style of football that is more Pac-12-y than Big Ten-y. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. Kind of the open it up, throw it around, play that way. So, to me, the most realistic end to this for OSU, I think, is the Pac-12.
Yeah, I do too. What's the most desired, though?
I don't. That's a very interesting question.
Because competitively, do you want to go up against Ohio State and Michigan every year, Nebraska, Penn State, or do you want to go up against USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, Arizonas? I feel like the OSU has, competitively, football-wise, they're more of an advantage going west.
The only thing about that is this. I think you want to go where football matters.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the problem.
And I don't know how much it matters on the West Coast. Right. Outside of USC and Oregon and Washington, does anybody really care? But I think it's a great question for the OSU fans. Where is your most desired place to land? 225-9698. I'm getting got the little bubbles on a text from an OSU fan right now.
Where they want to go
to see where do you want to end up? You know, I'd seen some stuff last week where he was kind of joking, but kind of not. Bray Haven talking about take us to the Pac-12. That way we can end daylight savings times forever.
Yeah, would get the Pac-12 in Middle America, and that would probably force them to stop having their games at 9:30. You know, OSU, we can't kick off a game at 9:30 Central Time if it's UCLA at Stillwater.
Also not going to kick off a game at 9 a.m. on the West Coast.
True.
For that 11 a.m. window that everybody's so mad about.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's really interesting because the Big Ten is the obvious answer monetarily.
Right.
Because they are the ones that's the cash cow. The other two haven't quite got it. I think moving forward with the ACC network firmly in place as an ESPN property, I think that's probably going to end up the next best money-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because it feels like going west is the best competitively for the sports. So, you know,
so it's a win-win almost for OSU.
It
wherever
can
they
be.
Land, that's kind of what I was alluding to on Friday. It can be a win-win for them wherever they land. This doesn't have to be a bad thing that the Big 12 is dissolving. They can land somewhere where they can get a nice payout in maybe a competitive advantage depending where they land.
Now, a question that everybody wants to know and hope like hell the answer is no, but could they be left out entirely?
No, I think
where you're forced to be like in the AAC or something about
I think when it comes to the most desired that are left of the eight teams, OSU is up there. Honestly, I do. And you can thank T. Boone Pickens for that. With the facility upgrades that's happened, Obrate Stadium is a gem. And Gallagher Iba is an American classic in the college basketball realm of things. No, I think that they are up there, what's left of the Big Eight. I think that was a question I was kind of getting to, like who should be the most nervous, who could be left behind. I think it's a team like TCU.
Oh, I think there's three. I think there's three that are firmly in the bottom rung.
Tech kind of just feels like they're out there dangling.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
to
they
me,
feel more of a Pac-12 team than anybody else in this that's left.
I agree, and they're closer. They're
yeah. The Arizonas would love to have a little close. You know, Tech and Tech. I think would love to go west anyways.
I think
OSU is going to be fine. It's just who is the ones that should be feeling really nervous about this?
I think it's easy. TCU, Baylor, and Kansas State.
Yeah,
TCU and Baylor, because they don't feel like they're fits for the Big Ten or the ACC at all, which means it has to be the Pac. And then the Pac-12, as already mentioned, came out with some statements of, well, with our basically your college the way it was founded on Christian beliefs, we don't want that.
They've said that to Baylor and TCU?
Kind of, just kind of floated that out there, which is clearly aimed at those two.
Wow.
Oh, and then the other thing about this is this. From a can they all get left out or OSU get left out? The one thing that throws a wrench into this everything we've just talked about is if the Pac-12 balks and says no. We'll add Boise, Colorado State to keep it on the West Coast, kind of two time zones, not wanting to get into the central part of the country. If that happens with what we all think is four spots open because there's only 12 out there, now all of a sudden you look around and you go, there's two in the Big Ten, there's two in the ACC, and then it starts getting a little bit dicey for Oklahoma State. And then, you know, the non, what is that, the credentials that the Big Ten is almost demanded last time?
The
AAC?
Or AAU?
AAU, maybe it was that.
Accreditation.
The accreditation.
Yeah.
That they gave Nebraska a waiver on, and then I think they ended up getting to that level. Then all of a sudden that becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. If you're comparing all eight for maybe three spots, if Notre Dame doesn't stay independent, then a lot of other factors come into play. But as long as the Pac-12 absorbs a couple of these teams, if not four of them from the Big 12, I don't think OSU has any problem whatsoever. And like you said, they're up at the toward the top of the list, if not at the top of the list, in desirability from an athletic standpoint. As long as it remains about athletics, for the most part, OSU's in great shape. And yeah, it's maybe not be able to pick exactly where they want to go, but no chance of getting left out. But if the Pac-12 balks and fills that four spots with somebody else outside of these Big 12 teams, then it gets dicey. And then you wonder, okay, now how is this going to work? Do you – I mean, I saw the AAC wanting to gobble up Big 12 teams. I mean, are you kidding? It doesn't even make sense when you first read it, but – you know, maybe that – I don't know if you'd be able to talk people into that being a Power 5 conference or not. If you ended up with, you know, say Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma State, and Tech down there with Houston and the Central Floridas and that and the like. I don't know if you could talk that into people believing that's a Power 5. Probably not off the bat. Maybe with some success you could. But, I mean, that's a nightmare scenario for Oklahoma State, one that I don't think is going to play out. But –
no, that's the Pac-12, last option if they're just
– if the Pac-12 balks, yeah, then that becomes right, a possibility. If not
– if it's them
– they're fine.
If they've been turned away by the other three and they're just looking for a home because it looks like the Big 12 is going to dissolve, then, well, that's not the last option. I think the last option is they find a way to keep the Big 12. Instead of the Big 12 saying, okay, we'll go join the AAC, the Big 12 say, how about we'll take four of your teams?
Yeah,
but then it goes back into the question of, well, are you really a Power 5 conference?
Yeah, and that's the problem. The problem with staying together in some sort of fashion is you think of the devaluation of the Big 12 from 2010 till now. The Big 12 catches a lot of flack for the last 10 years since the first realignment. People forget the Big 12 was absolutely one of the top two football conferences in the country as it was originally constructed, if not the best.
Mm-hmm.
When Nebraska, Colorado, Missouri, and A&M were a part of it, it would go toe-to-toe with anybody. But then, you know, the weakened state of the Big 12, losing those four and only replacing with West Virginia, who's never felt like a Big 12 member.
No.
And then TCU, you know, and TCU, just as a lot of people suspected might happen, think of where they were in 2010. Went in the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin. Outside of 2014, what have they done in the Big 12? It just gets harder because there's more quality teams. And all of a sudden, you know, you just week after week, the pounding that you take, it takes its toll on you. And
yep.
So, you know, and then without Oklahoma and Texas, it's hard to see past 2025 – how the conference remains viable from a TV contract standpoint and a money standpoint with what's left.
Right.
Especially considering all the way back to when it first started. I mean, it's kind of sad in a lot of ways because the beauty of the Big 12 was it kept the Big 8 / Southwest Conference, Middle America had a conference for the, you know, for those teams. And now it's not going to be there. It doesn't feel like. So it'll be interesting in the next couple of weeks to figure out exactly what's going to happen. I still believe, and I think you do too, this is going to be the last year of the Big 12.
I do. I firmly believe that.
Even before
today's news, it's just because, and Barry Trammell said it best, you don't have lame duck teams or schools in conferences after saying, okay, we're going to leave. They're not going to sit here and wait through 2025.
No, the other schools can't afford to.
Right.
What would those other eight do then if you waited till 2025, finish that season, then what do they do?
Yeah.
You know, what happens in the meantime where those in this game of musical chairs, if the chairs are pulled away before the music ever stops, you have nowhere to sit down.
Yeah. What happened to Nebraska, Colorado, A&M, and Missouri? We knew for one season this was their last season
in
the Big 12.
Nebraska left, and the other three didn't wait.
Right.
Because they could see the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And they were also scared to tears that it would be the two that are leaving now that would get their spots.
You're right.
So the other eight cannot afford to do it.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, UCF will take your ACC spot, and then you're completely out of places.
Yep.
We'll get in a little bit more to the NBA draft coming up through the week. As we get closer to Thursday evening's draft. By the way, we do have some guests this week going to be right here in studio. Wednesday, we're going to have to make room for some trophies.
Yeah, we need to clean this room up.
We're going to have to have some room for some trophies because a couple of just graduated high school golf superstars are going to be in the house. Kingfisher's Maddie Kamis, who was the back-to-back OGA Junior Girls Stroke Play Champion in 2020, 2021. She'll be here. I think she's bringing her trophy.
Oh, boy.
She also won the Class 4A Individual State Championship. And our man Trace Hill will be here as well. I've seen with my own eyes the OGA State Amateur Championship Trophy. It is gigantic.
Yeah.
And it is awesome. And it's got all kinds of names on it. Pretty cool. It's almost kind of Stanley Cup-ish as it's got all the names on it going around in a circle. So they're going to be here on Wednesday. And then Friday, we're going to have PGA Tour professional playing in our golf tournament, Rain Gibson. Rain Gibson of the famous 55 at River Oaks, the lowest score ever recorded in golf history. And also John Hart to be with him, Folds of Honor. I can't wait to see this golf. Have you heard about the golf cart?
The Folds
of Honor golf cart.
Oh, I bet that's
supposed
cool.
to be awesome.
Oh.
Going to have it out here. They're going to be riding around in it on Saturday.
I thought about pulling my golf cart out there Friday. Probably not now.
May not be the same as the Folds of Honor cart.
Mine's a dinky little thing.
Can't wait to see it.
Mine might overheat on Saturday.
They're going to be here on Friday. Of course, we got the horse race Friday, 4 o'clock. Dinner at 8 o'clock for the players on Friday night and then the tournament. 7:30 tee time in the morning on Saturday, 1:30 tee time in the afternoon on Saturday.
Are we going to have the horse race trophy?
The horse race trophy is $100 bills, Joe.
Now, there's a – remember last year we introduced the horse race trophy?
No, I don't remember that. Maybe Travis can bring that on Friday.
No, we have to take it back.
Oh, we did?
Because we only have one.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where we can find any.
Sorry about your luck. It's like the green jacket, except you don't get to have it for a year.
Get it to you, and then you take the picture.
And then we'll be needing that back, sir.
We'll need that back.
So that's all going on this week. It's going to be a fun week here on the Skinny on Sports. Real quick. So the vaccination protocols for the NFL started to leak out on Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
Basically, if you're none of it quite ever makes sense. Why you're testing vaccinated people if the vaccination works, I don't understand.
Agreed.
Unvaccinated players will be basically subjected to exactly what happened last year, as far as the testing daily, having to, you know, if you test positive. The thing that's pretty amazing to me is so if an unvaccinated player tests positive, they must quarantine for 10 days before they even try to get the negative test back, even though they're asymptomatic. But if you test positive and have been vaccinated and are asymptomatic, basically you have to sit out a day or two and then start taking tests to get back on the field. What's the difference?
I don't know.
They're both positive. They're both asymptomatic.
Waiting for the vaccine to kick in? Or,
I don't know.
The whole idea of the vaccine to prevent totally? I don't know.
But so they're basically what the NFL's doing is trying to force vaccination upon its players. There's been a few that have spoken out against it. DeAndre Hopkins probably being the headliner of that group. And then over the weekend it breaks that, a guy that has not been in the news because I don't know why. There's probably not a lot to talk about as far as knowing facts, but 23 counts of sexual assault against Deshaun Watson. But, hey, come on back. Show up at training camp so you don't have to pay a $50,000 fine every day you're gone. And so now you're seeing reports that, now all of a sudden he's tradable again. I mean, what the hell? What is going on?
It's clear.
The protocols are tougher for an unvaccinated player in the NFL than they are for a guy that is facing 23 counts of sexual assault. That's the only way to read that.
I can't explain it.
And Jim couldn't be here today. He'll be back next Monday. I would love to get his take on the Steelers story.
I know.
So the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to force their non-vaccinated players to wear yellow armbands to show which ones they are.
That's too much.
Did I go to sleep and wake up in 1930s Germany?
That is crazy.
That is off. And here's the deal. If I'm a vaccinated Pittsburgh Steeler, I'm wearing a yellow armband to show solidarity with my teammates.
Or if I'm an unvaccinated, I'm refusing to wear an armband.
Either way.
It's like, you're not going to label me.
Where does HIPAA come into all this?
Isn't that
a privacy thing?
That's true.
It's funny.
But the argument is this is your employer. And
that's true. You know, very, very true.
There are things that we've all had a job where we don't agree with our employer ask us to do. We've all had that.
That's true. Very, very true.
I know we're over time. Real quick example. I was told one time by an employer I had to put a bumper sticker on my car. I hate putting bumper stickers on my car. And I refused. You can't tell me to put something on me I don't want to put on me. So, this is kind of like the Steelers. You know, why are they? But again, it's employer.
It is.
It's murky. It's a gray area. You know, they're paying you a lot of money to do a job, and they want you to do something for them. But it kind of treads on the privacy laws.
It's collectively bargained. What's collectively bargained, though?
Yeah.
It feels like there's certain things that are and there's certain things that aren't, and everything that isn't is kind of allowed to be stepped over the bounds toward the way it's going. Yeah. Anyhow, I'm sure more will come out of that throughout the run-up to the season. Everybody have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.